It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 5-2 to the Minnesota Wild. Series all knotted up at one game apiece. Thursday, the series shifts to Minnesota for Game 3 and 4. 6 p.m. puck drop on Thursday, local time for the Vegas Golden Knights in Minnesota against the Wild. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bring in the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, when you look at this game, you know, for the Golden Knights, the start was fine. The first 5 minutes had a lot of chances, quality looks, and then the Minnesota Wild took over. They were able to kind of gum things up on the Golden Knights' exits, and then they were able to find three goals. Can you make sense of that first period and the shift from the first 5 minutes to what transpired the final 15?
Yeah, well, no, I can't. I'm sure that Bruce Cassidy will do his best to offer his take on what he saw. Naturally, John Hines was not sitting around twiddling his thumbs for the last 48 hours after his team lost 4-2 in game one. Knowing that his team is not favored in this series, you throw in Zeev Bouyim as a wrinkle and see what he can do in his first couple of NHL games, what might happen when you get your top players going, Kaprizov and Eriksson Ek having missed significant time, and what they obviously have come to play and have delivered. And you figure, okay, the top players sometimes cancel each other out. That has not happened yet. The Knights' top line has not generated anything. Obviously, the Minnesota top line has. And, the adjustments, and again, we'll have to hear exactly how Bruce Cassidy saw Minnesota's adjustments, but they were effective. And that's the nature of a playoff series, the back and forth. And then the Knights managed to steady some things as the game went along. But there were also some players who just had uncharacteristically off nights. There were giveaways, turnovers that we normally do not see from, the Knights' most familiar defensive pair in team history is McNabb and Theodore, and they did not have a good day. So why did that happen? I don't know. Bruce Cassidy said that, hey, going into the series, it's hard to explain. Sometimes you just have an off night. The Knights historically are very good when it comes to bouncing back after a postseason loss. So we'll see if not only the team, but some of those individuals who had off nights managed to bounce back. As the game went along, they steadied things, but they were not as dangerous. They scored two goals, but they were not quite as dangerous as you might have hoped they would turn out to be. They had the better play for stretches and more shots on goal, obviously, and lots more attempts. 89 attempts over the course of the game. That is, I'd say, a big number. 28 in the first, 33 in the second. So I don't have a simple answer, Ryan, but that's the fun of the playoffs. It goes back and forth, and an experienced team has said you don't get too high after wins or too low after losses.
You mentioned it for the Golden Knights. Like they did have quite a few shot attempts, but they were off net a bit, and the Minnesota Wild blocked 30 shots in this one. It just seemed like there was nothing easy in the offensive zone for Vegas.
Right. The middle of the ice, which was discussed, they are very good at keeping, they sort of give you the outside and they don't let you do much on the inside. They also limited the Knights' transition opportunities, and Hanifin's goal did sort of come in transition. Kind of a broken play. They defended Watt coming down the middle. Hanifin, the fourth man, the trailer, managed to secure the puck, and that's sort of a transition goal, I suppose. The Knights have been very, very good at generating those chances and scoring on them. There have not been a lot in the series, and in particular today. So how do you find some offense? And, again, it's sometimes difficult to put your finger on it. You're getting chances, you're getting attempts. But at the same time, Ryan, I'm not sure that there are going to be easy answers to this one. But Bruce Cassidy and his adjustments and the staff, they will be going to work just as we had seen last game. And it sounds like the press conferences have begun, Ryan, if you'd like to go to that.
All right, let's go downstairs to hear from Bruce Cassidy.
They got behind us after we didn't take care of the puck as well. So you're giving their best players easy offense, right? And then the playoffs, It's a bad formula. It's a bad formula. You know, you're supposed to make it hard on them and see if they'll battle through. And we didn't. Their top guys got some easy offense, and they finished. And so we'll have to correct that.
What adjustments, if any, did the Wild make between game one and two?
I don't know. They played a lot different. I mean, you know, we didn't take care of the puck, so I don't know if there's an adjustment in that, right? I mean, we got to make better plays, stronger plays, safer plays. They forechecked hard. They did that the other night, I thought. You know, they're trying to force our D into and our wingers on the wall. I think they protected the middle well again. We were able to get outside ice when we did. We got ozone time. They protected the middle of the ice. Second period, we started stretching them out a little better with better decisions at the top for when we put pucks to the net, and probably had an opportunity to get back in the game in that period, to be quite honest. I thought did a lot of things well from then on in. I don't know if they changed their game much, to be perfectly honest. I think on we gave them life early, and this is the playoffs. They're a good team. They're a good defensive team. It's right up their alley, right? They play with a lead. They know how to play with a lead. So that was on us early on. And credit them for, you'd say, forcing us into mistakes, but, you know, some of them, you know, we just got to take care of the puck better.
Danny, then Paul.
Bruce, Danny Webster, Las Vegas Review-Journal. Uncharacteristic night for Shea also. What can be said as far as trying to, he's a veteran player obviously, but what can be said to just try and pick him up to get ahead?
Well, he's trying to do too much out there. It's that simple against a team that's collapsed, and so we've got to do a better job of getting him the information what the other team's doing. But he's a pretty smart player. He sees what's going on out there, and I think he was light on the puck tonight. What do you want me to say? He's a great player for us. It wasn't his night, and then it snowballed. So there's a player trying to, you know, make amends, and I respect that. I like that. But it didn't go that way, and then someone has to pick him up by putting out a fire, right? That's what good teams do. And their chances there in a stretch, they all went in. So we've got to do a better job putting out fires, you know, to pick the guy up. That's hockey, right? We're not all going to be perfect every night. So we didn't do a good enough job of that as a team. So when it goes sideways on someone next time, we got to be, you know, hey, pick that guy up till he finds his game, whoever it is, and they will. We're a good team. And get over the hump and get back to work. And eventually we did get back to work. That's the positive for the team. I think we gave ourselves an opportunity to get back in the game. But, you know, when you're down that much, it's hard. You know, it doesn't happen very often. But, I mean, I watched Edmonton get back in the game last night, so it can happen. I think our guys had good belief. I think we kept playing hard. We just couldn't finish to get that, you know, 4-2. You get it to 4-3, all of a sudden, you know, now there's maybe some doubt over there, but never quite got there.
Paul, Jesse.
Hi, Bruce. Paul DeLosanto, NHL.com. How do you balance the short-term memory versus the teaching moments at this point of the year?
Well, I don't, you know, there's always teaching moments. I mean, a playoff series can be long, a run can be long, you know, so doesn't mean they have to be or they will. You know, we got to play better. But I said it at the other day, and I believed it in the first part of the game. They're hungrier than us and more competitive. Like, no one cares what we did 2 years ago. Nobody cares. They respect us for what we did, but they don't care now. They want, you know, there's 16 teams that want the trophy, and they're hungry. And that every year that starts, right, in the playoffs. So some of our guys got to realize we started Sunday here, so you get hungry, get competitive. And then halfway through the game, we started to see better of that. So that's your teaching moment. Get hungrier. Get competitive. It's not easy this time of year, and we'll be fine. I believe that. But they were hungrier than us and more competitive than us the first half of the game. And, you know, it showed.
Jesse.
Hi, Bruce. Jesse Granger at The Athletic. The top line's been quiet for these first two games, and you mixed the pieces around a little bit in that game. What do you need to get more out of those guys?
Well, it's going to be Barbashev or Howden for the most part. Those are the guys that have played there. So, you know, we don't want to throw it in a blender. I think that's not necessary because I thought Carlson's line was generating some offense. Hurdle's line's been very good. So
They're not going to steal from somewhere necessarily. If they're elite, world-class players, and they got to get going, right? To me, there's a little bit on, hey, you know what? The other team's top guys are all over the sheet. You know, it's time. No, we've got to help them. We're trying to help them. We'll give them a matchup. We'll give them ozone draws. Power play touches can sometimes do that for you, but there hasn't been a lot of that on either side in this series. So it's the same for both teams that way. So it's just the onus becomes a little bit on, okay, I'm gonna take what's there, and I'm gonna push through a little bit, right? And that's where we're at. It's early. I got all the faith in the world in those guys, but and that gets over analyzed sometimes early in a series too, right? Like the other night, Jack had a breakaway. Stoney was in all alone. Barbie had some good looks. So it's not like they just didn't finish the other night. Tonight, a little less so. I think they need to get through the neutral zone quicker and establish those own territory is one thing that line has to. The line rush game, they've been real accountable to try to have people back against them. So that's what they're going to have to deal with. But that's playoff hockey. They've been through that before. So we'll show them a little bit of that tomorrow. But that's where they're going to have to create a little more in the O zone. And we started doing that in the second period on, and we just couldn't quite finish enough.
Last one, Ken.
Ken Bulkey, Sinman.Vegas. You did have like 30 minutes where you get to play against them, kind of packed in through the neutral zone. Is there something you could take out of that to say?
Yeah, we got through the neutral zone and, you know, outside speed, right? As long as you execute one good pass through the neutral zone, now you're outside speed and now you drive the puck deep and you play from there. So you're not getting your chance off the rush. It's from the outside. I mean, we play a similar style sometimes. Let them shoot from outside all day. So you got to drive it deep and support it well. Okay, so where does it go from there? Well, they pack it in, so sometimes it's low to high to the D, and that's where we had to be better tonight. We made some mistakes up there handling pucks that came back the other way. So that, to me, is fixable. Hey, make better, you know, handle the puck a little cleaner at the top of the blue line. Maybe you start spreading them out. And that's what started happening in the second period. Now we get some slot looks. We cover some pucks, get them running around. And that to me, is, you know, how we're going to get offense if they continue, you know, to sort of have their 2D in the middle of the ice and stay, you know, be responsible. Then that's what's in front of us. And so that is very you know, teachable in terms of, you know, we'll show them that here. This is what we have. So let's get our noses dirty, get inside. And you know, again, the hurdle goal was a bit of that, right? Like you took the outside ice, our D gets active. Now it's outside, inside. We get inside and finished one. We had a few other looks like that in the second. But it was a lot of the same two lines. So that's where, when you ask me about Jack and Stoney, that's where we're going to have to buy in to a little bit what the other team's giving them. You know, that's what's in front of us.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 5-2 loss to the Minnesota Wild. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
VGK's official watch party for Thursday's Game 3 will be held at the Boulevard Pool at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. Come out for giveaways, visits from the VGK cast, and a chance to win tickets to a future VGK game. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 5-2 to the Minnesota Wild in Game 2 of this opening round series. Series all knotted up at one game apiece. So the Wild earn the split here against the Vegas Golden Knights. Game 3 will go Thursday, 6 p.m. in Minnesota. 5 p.m. pregame show for that one. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Again, the Golden Knights healthy, fully healthy here going into the postseason through two games. Don't think anyone's any worse for wear. Physicality over the first two games, certainly there for both Minnesota and Vegas. But you know, for the Golden Knights, I'm not expecting any lineup changes going into Game 3. Of course, that could change. But I do. Obviously, the hurdle line is going for the Vegas Golden Knights. Carlson line is generating chances, haven't really broken through just yet. I don't think you're changing much on your fourth line. And while the point remains that you need to get Jack Eichel and Mark Stone going, that they need to produce for this team as the series shifts to Minnesota,
you're not making any changes in terms of that combination at the top of your lineup either. So we'll see what it looks like for the Golden Knights on Thursday when they match up with Minnesota in Game 3. Let's take a look at the highlights in this game. We go back to the first period, and you know, the first 5 minutes, it was all Vegas. Aiden Hill didn't have a lot of work over that stretch, but he did get in on the action with a ridiculous sequence of saves.
Petrangelo defense feeds to the middle, side of the goal, big left kick save! What a chance for Minnesota! Erickson X Stone, another chance, glove save! Oh, the combo! The crowd to its feet to cheer on Aiden Hill! First a left hand save, then a glove save!
Just an unreal sequence there from Aiden Hill. He gets the first one on Erickson Ek, and then a huge glove save on Matt Boldy. But the Wild would open the scoring midway through that first period as Kirill Kaprizov sent Matt Boldy away on a breakaway.
Now Theodore going left. He shoots. Knocked down in front. Kaprizov gets the puck. Eichel and Erickson Ek were dueling in front. Boldy going the other way. He scores! Boldy goes downstairs on Aiden Hill. While there was a tie-up in front of the Minnesota goal, Matt Boldy rushing the other way. Minnesota strikes first in Game 2.
Third goal of the series for Matt Boldy from Kirill Kaprizov and Jonas Brodin. 9:56 of the first period made it 1-0 Minnesota. And the Wild continued to dial up the pressure after Ryan Hartman won a battle behind the net to set up Marcus Foligno.
On the right, Hartman centered, they score! Foligno in front. A little hop, just like his dad. And it's a 2-0 lead for Minnesota with 8:24 to go in the first period.
First goal of the series for Marcus Foligno from Ryan Hartman. 11:35 of that first period made it 2-0 Minnesota. And the Wild took advantage of a Shea Theodore turnover when Matt Zuccarello made it 3-0.
Puck up the boards. Look out. McNabb tried for the hip check on Zuccarello. Got some of it, not all of it. Zuccarello now finds a loose puck. Down the slot. Save. Trickles through into the goal. Zuccarello makes it 3-0 Minnesota.
Matt Zuccarello from Marcus Johansson. 17:15 of the first period made it 3-0 Minnesota. So the Wild would take that 3-0 lead into the second period. And they opened the second period like they finished the first, taking advantage of another Golden Knights turnover. This time, it was Matt Boldy setting up Kirill Kaprizov.
And Theodore falls over, loses the puck. 2-on-1. McNabb hustling back. Kaprizov shoots. Save. Loose puck. And they say it's in. Kaprizov with the shot. Hill made the save, but he could not secure it under the pad. And it's a 4-0 Minnesota lead. 4 minutes into the second period.
Kaprizov's first goal of the series for Matt Boldy, 3:59 of the second period, made it 4-0 Minnesota. The Wild would go into a bit of prevent defense after going up 4-0, but the Golden Knights would get on the board 12 minutes into the second period on an absolute rocket from Noah Hanifin in transition.
In transition, here's Watt. Watt, stick check, drops it off. Hanifin scores! Fourth man, the trailer, Noah Hanifin. Vegas on the board in Game 2. 8 minutes to go in the second period. Vegas now trails 4-1.
Noah Hanifin, unassisted, 12:04 the second period, made it 4-1 Minnesota. So we'd head to the third period. The Golden Knights with designs of a comeback, and they made it a two-goal game 2 minutes into the third period on an excellent setup for Tomas Hertl.
Saad goes the other way for the Knights. Saad emerges on the right circle. Hands it off Petrangelo through the circle. Center, score! A double fist pump from Petrangelo. And he goes right to join the celebration. Tomas Hertl with two goals in two playoff games. And the Knights now trail 4-2.
Tomas Hertl from Alex Petrangelo and Brandon Saad, 2:26 of the third period, cut the deficit to 2-4-2 Minnesota, and the Golden Knights would continue to push throughout the entirety of the third period, ultimately pulling Aiden Hill for the extra attacker, but Kirill Kaprizov iced the game with an empty net goal.
Back out for Theodore, feeding right, a shot, stick save! Gustafson ready for that one-timer by Dorofeev. It's cleared down, it goes into the goal! It took a weird hop down
down the ice, and Minnesota has its fifth goal. 2:26 left in the third. Minnesota leads by three.
Second goal of the night, third point of the night for Kirill Kaprizov, an empty netter unassisted, 17:34 of the third period, made it 5-2 Minnesota, and all that was left in this one was the final call.
8 seconds remaining. They say it's not a series until a road team wins. Well, drive at the home from Dorothea, stop guy Gustafson, and that encapsulates the evening. Wild 5-2.
There you have it, 5-2, the final score. The Minnesota Wild defeat the Vegas Golden Knights, tie this series at one game apiece after the opening set here in Vegas. Games 3 and 4, the series shifts to Minnesota. Thursday, Game 3, 6 p.m. against the Wild. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back to the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 5-2 to the Minnesota Wild. Series all knotted up at one game apiece. Now we shift over to Minnesota for games 3 and 4. Game 3 will go Thursday, 6 o'clock in Minnesota against the Wild. The Golden Knights will look to get back in the win column and get the split, or at least get a win in Minnesota to try to regain control of this series. Text line is always open for you, 702-876-1340. I know it's a late one. I get it. But if you've got an instant reaction to this game, hit us on the text line. We're going to be taking phone calls in just a couple of minutes, so hang tight for that as well. 702-876-1340. Text line, again, always open for you. Instant reactions, all of your hot takes. That's the place for them. Now, checking in on the text line here, Tim says it appeared the Golden Knights were playing hot potato with the puck for about 25 minutes between the first and second periods. Golden Knights will need to regroup, play like they did after going down 4-0. Yeah, to a degree, you're right, Tim. I thought the Golden Knights did a better job, obviously, when the score was 4-0 of getting the possession time in the offensive zone and trying their best to kind of wear down Minnesota, but they didn't get to the inside. And, you know, if you look at game one compared to game two, Hertl wins a battle in tight front of the net, scores a goal. Brett Howden in transition has a clear line toward the front of the net, the inside, scores a goal. Obviously, Pavel Dorofeev on an excellent feed from Shea Theodore on the power play. No one between him and the goal scores a goal. More interior stuff was there for Vegas in game number one. Now, I credit the Minnesota Wild defensively. They blocked 30 shots, but I think Bruce Cassidy summed it up pretty well. You know, for the Golden Knights, you have to manage the puck against Minnesota. If you don't manage the puck, it's going to be a long night, like tonight was for Vegas. There were turnovers from the Golden Knights that are pretty uncharacteristic. Shea Theodore, Braden McNabb, generally very steady for the Golden Knights all season long. Turnovers really were the story in this one. And I agree with Cassidy. I don't know, and George, I see your comment, I don't think the Golden Knights got out-coached in this game at all. I don't know that Minnesota made a ton of adjustments. Yeah, they were able to pinch a little bit more in that first period. They were able to cut off plays for the Golden Knights, but Vegas turned pucks over. Like, they had pucks, they had options, they had outlets, and they just turned pucks over. And so as you go deeper into the series, it's going to come down to which team manages the puck better. And tonight, after a really strong performance in that area in game one from the Golden Knights, they didn't manage the puck particularly well. Minnesota Wild took advantage of it. They got transition opportunities. First goal for Matt Boldy, breakaway. 2-on-1 for Kirill Kaprizov. Golden Knights didn't give up any odd man rushes. That generally happens when you turn pucks over. So for the Golden Knights, they'll have to clean that up going into game number three. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK post-game show. Extended post-game show, your phone calls. That's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network post-game show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 5-2 the final. The Golden Knights fall to the Minnesota Wild. Series all tied at 1, games 3 and 4 in Minnesota. Game 3, 6 o'clock puck drop local time here for the Vegas Golden Knights. So that means 5 p.m. pregame show, 6 o'clock puck drop in Minnesota against the Wild. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. I'm expecting calls tonight. I'm expecting it. Listen, it's 11:30. It was a late start. Everyone was cranky about it. I get it. But pick up the phone, dial the number. 702-876-1340. If you've got hot takes, if you are steamed about this game, I'd love to hear from you as we navigate and try to come to some understanding of what happened in that first period. You know, I think for the Golden Knights, you go back to the first period, and again, it is the story of a postseason run. It is the story of a series as it unfolds. You're always looking at adjustments. You're always trying to figure out why one team was able to win a game, why one team was able to come back. I think if you look at this game top to bottom for the Golden Knights, especially in that first period, Vegas was connected for 5 minutes. The Golden Knights were moving up the ice as a five-man unit for 5 minutes. They were in the offensive zone. They were creating looks and creating chances for 5 minutes. And Filip Gustavsson was very, very good for the first 5 minutes of this game. And then the Minnesota Wild took advantage of turnovers that the Golden Knights fed them. I mean, that's the story of the game. You go back, you look at the goals that Minnesota scored in that first period, and Golden Knights had the puck on their stick in every instance. In every scenario, they had the puck on their stick, and it ended up going back the other way, and that didn't happen in game number one. The Golden Knights did not give up an odd man rush in game number one. That's not the case here in game number two. If you don't manage the puck against any team in the playoffs, it's going to be a long night for you. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, as I said on Sunday, it wouldn't surprise me if the game goes a different direction on Tuesday in game two, and it certainly did that, and then some. I'm grateful for two things. Number one, that for heaven's sake, Theodore and McNabb will never play worse than they played tonight, so they got that out of their system, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm also grateful for the mercifully quick 2 hours and 35 minutes. So with that in mind, it isn't that much later than it normally is, and you folks can call in easily on a night like this. There's really no reason to get angry. At least I'm not. I'm not angry, and I'm not worried, either one. I know that we do have to take care of business in Minnesota. What do we do about Stone and Eichel? Is there anything that should be done, needs to be done?
You need them to produce, and I don't know that you're going to break up that line combination. You heard from Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media. The hurdle line's going. Olofsson with Carlson and Smith are creating chances, at least more chances than what you're seeing out of, you know, Jack's line right now. I don't think you're touching anything with your fourth line. I mean, they've been swapping Howden and Barbashev from top line to fourth line throughout the majority of the opening part of this series. But I don't know that you have enough in terms of combinations that you can rely on from earlier on in the season where you can play Stone away from Eichel. So okay. I think it's going to come down to Jack and Mark going out there and making plays. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what they need to do. You trust those two guys. Jack Eichel had a phenomenal regular season, offensive juggernaut type of season. You're going to need him to tap into that and produce when you go into Minnesota. It's going to have to happen.
Yeah, it'll have to happen. I don't see any lingering illnesses, injuries, or anything like that. Do you?
I mean, it would only be speculation, and I'm not going to do that. I think if you're in the lineup for a playoff game, you're healthy, generally speaking, and you're ready to go. So I don't get the sense that that's an issue at all.
Okay, well, everybody relax, because this is going to be a five-game series and maybe six, but I don't think it's going to be seven. Could be. But either way, we're the better team. It's the carbon copy of last year, where we were not the better team. We were the better team, but we didn't win. And Dallas had the home ice advantage. We have the home ice advantage. I see it going similarly, at any rate. And you need to grab a coffee to go on that drive back home, young man.
Oh, I'm good, Mike. Don't worry about me.
You and I are the only ones who didn't take a nap today, I think.
Yeah, well, I can't take naps. It's just not in my DNA. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340 is the number, 702-876-1340. Did this game change your opinion of the series? Pick up the phone, dial the number. I'd love to hear from you, especially in relation to that question. Did this game tonight change your perception of the series as it shifts to Minnesota for games 3 and 4? Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Rita. Hey, Rita, how you doing?
Well, I'm okay. You know, the night kind of sucked, but that happens. It changed my perception, yeah, because now we can't have a damn sweep. We got to win in 5. It's the way it is. We'll just have to grin and bear it. Now, I got to get this said. A pissed off VGK is a good VGK, and they better be pissed as hell after this. Mm-hmm. They better go into Minnesota and take no prisoners. The game was god awful to watch. I'm just thinking we got it out of our system. It's not like I thought we were going to win 16 and go straight through to pick up the cup. So maybe this will be the one dead and we can move on, or we better move on. I ain't doing 2 of these in a row. And Michael Russo, the little columnist for the Minnesota Wild. You guys, I like it here in a way. You guys are always trying to be non-biased, which sometimes I wish you were more of a homer. But Dave and Shane and you and the whole group all try. That is the most biased one of a son of a, you know what, ever. I'm sorry. The guy's a jerk. I don't know how he got a professional job, but I told him to grow a pair after his tweet, so we're good. Anyway, we're on to Minnesota, and we're going to have to just kick butt. That's all there is to it. Have a good night. Say hi to the missus.
All right. Thanks so much, Rita, for the call. I appreciate it. Hard to pick apart that call, honestly. Yeah, I mean, you've kind of touched on, you played the hits, right? Pissed off VGK is a good VGK. Generally speaking, that is true. And, you know, I think for the Golden Knights, sometimes you have to go through games like this. Even if you go back to the Stanley Cup playoff run, like where the Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup in 2023, game one against Winnipeg, not a good game. And they bounced back with 4 really solid wins against the Winnipeg Jets, and the rest is history. So sometimes you're going to have setbacks. This was a setback for the Golden Knights. We'll see how they respond. That's really going to be the story of their postseason. It's not necessarily the games that they lose. It's how you respond in those moments in the games after a loss or a setback. Let's go back out of the phone line. 702-876-1340. We bring in Keith. Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely.
Astute point with the Winnipeg game. That's what I was thinking of, too. Hey, I was at the game tonight with my wife, Stephanie. We're season ticket holders. We'll be back there for game five. I'm not worried about it one bit. You know, Vegas outplayed Minnesota for about 50 minutes, but those 10 minutes were absolutely dreadful. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sweating it. I do have a question for you, though.
Sure.
I've heard a lot of people say that, and I'm not down on the guy, don't get me wrong, but I've heard a lot of people say uncharacteristic performance from Shea Theodore. Now, look, at his best, Shea Theodore is the best defenseman on the team. Mm-hmm. At his worst, I feel like I see him make a lot of errors, a lot of sloppy passes. And I'm not trashing the guy. He's got the heaviest shot on the team. He contributes a ton. But, like, he made a couple of sloppy passes in game one. It just didn't have any real consequence. We saw some consequences tonight. So I just, you know, he had the playoff series. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, where people were really, really down on him because he had a rough series. I can't remember which one it was. But he does give me a little bit of concern. You know, Braden McNabb doesn't have the ceiling that Shea has, but I would say that he's more reliable in doing what he does well.
Yeah, I mean, they're different players, right? Shea yeah. Theodore is more of an offensive-leaning defenseman, and, you know, I guess the counterpoint that I would make is a pretty simple one, a pretty easy one. Where would the Golden Knights be this season just from a power play perspective without Shea Theodore? Right? Like,
yeah.
We're talking about the second best power play in the league. Shea is a
Absolutely.
Big part of that.
And, oh, I agree 100%. And I'll tell you something. If he's healthy, he needs mm-hmm. to be out there. I just, yeah. I don't know. It feels like I see flaws out of him more frequently than others. But, you know, again, the counterpoint there is, well, the puck's on his stick more. And he's
exactly.
scoring more goals. Yeah, so, exactly. I mean, I get it. I just sometimes, man, I get so frustrated with some of these passes he makes. But, you know, he gets a lot of opportunity. He's going to have more opportunities than those guys. So I guess that's one of the things that you kind of just have to live with when you have a player of that skill set. Ryan, appreciate you taking my call. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate that, Keith. I guess the other aspect of it, too, is that I would, you know, bring out is this. Shea's making plays. Generally speaking, like, you look at him over the course of a 60-minute game, Shea is making plays. That's in his DNA. It's who he is as a player. It's what makes him special. It's what separates him from other players. Cale Makar goes out there, he makes plays. Quinn Hughes, he goes out there, he makes plays. It's not to say that every play he makes is going to be a successful play. You know, Jack Eichel goes out there trying to make plays. Mark Stone goes out there trying to make plays. When you are elite, when you are one of those players that you rely upon or a team relies upon to go out and do something special, you have to live with the good and the bad. Like, if you zero in on game one, Shea Theodore, his skating set up a tap-in, a wide-open net for Pavel Dorofeev to score on the power play. That's Shea Theodore making a play. And so if you temper that, you lose out on the good to try to minimize the bad. And, you know, to me, I'm not changing who Shea Theodore is. Yes, you're going to find that there are mistakes. Yes, you are going to find that he's going to try to make a play. He's going to get picked off. He's going to turn the puck over. More often than not, he's a good enough skater, and there's enough coverage from the Golden Knights that they can put out a fire, so to speak. You heard Bruce Cassidy talk about that earlier, but, you know, beyond that, to me anyway, you don't want Shea Theodore out there playing safe. You just don't want it. You want him out there making plays. You'll live with the bad, because more often than not, he's going to do something good. He's going to make something happen that is beneficial for the Golden Knights. Tonight wasn't his night. I reckon he's going to be better in Game 3. That's my expectation anyway. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. Love to take more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. And also stay on top of the VGK chase for the Stanley Cup with the team's official mobile app, available now for Apple and Android devices. Throughout the playoffs, app users will have the opportunity to win tickets to select home games, so don't miss out. Download it today. That's the VGK app. Again, 702-876-1340. Did this game change your perception of the series moving forward? I'd love to hear from you on the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 5-2 the final. The Minnesota Wild defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Series tied at 1. Game 3 Thursday, 6 p.m. in Minnesota against the Wild. The Golden Knights are looking to bounce back after a tough one here tonight. 702-876-1340. Go back out to the phone lines, bring in Wayne. Hey, Wayne, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I'm probably luckier than some of you guys because I took a nap, and when I woke up, I forgot the game was on. So I picked it up halfway probably through the second period when it was 4-1. So I didn't have to, you know, put up with the misery you guys might have had. But sounded like it looked like they played hard. I think we're set up from even 3 weeks out looking at who we wanted to open up the series. Because, you know, you can line up how the – matchups are, but you still got to go out and win the games. I'm not saying anything nobody knows, but didn't want to play St. Louis in the first round. Didn't want to get bumped out of winning the division and have to play either Edmonton or LA in the first round. So, you know, basically, you know, we just got to go out there and win them. We got a better team. We got a good team. I think we're better than last year. You don't win them all in hockey. You got to have a little luck, and that sure was a lot of shots on goal, and sometimes they just don't go in, do they?
No, they sure don't. They sure don't, Wayne. Thank you for the call. You're right. Like, you're not going to win every game. It's not you're not going to go 16-0 and win the Stanley Cup. It's not supposed to be easy. It's never going to be easy. And I think, you know, again, for the Golden Knights, it's not so much about the loss. It's how you respond. The same thing goes for Minnesota, right? They lose game one. It never felt, at least to me anyway, like the Golden Knights were in danger in game number one. They needed to find another gear. And again, I don't even look at it as major adjustments in how Minnesota played here in game two versus game one. I just think the Golden Knights turned pucks over. Where they were so good in game one, puck management, decision making, it wasn't there for them for a stretch in the first period in this game, and ultimately that's the difference. So, you know, you can sharpen that blade if you're the Golden Knights going into game three. You can make better decisions, put pucks in deep, use your forecheck, go inside, go outside, inside, like you saw on the Hurdle goal, and get back to what makes the Golden Knights an effective team. Now, you got to go out there and do it. That's the response you're looking for. But I think for the Golden Knights, the adjustments they need to make are more along the lines of decision-making than it is anything big picture X's and O's. So we'll see how that translates into game number three. We'll take a break, wrap it up next on the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 5-2 the final. The Minnesota Wild defeat the Vegas Golden Knights, tie the series up at one game apiece. Game 3 Thursday, 6 p.m. in Minnesota. 5 o'clock pregame show for that one. You know, and I think, again, we've done a good job covering it. It's important to note, but turnovers, big story in this game for the Golden Knights. Puck management, decision making, not where it needed to be for a stretch in the first period. And you know, Minnesota Wild, they took advantage of the opportunities the Golden Knights gave them. They finished plays. Odd man rushes, they had them in this game, didn't have them in game one,
had them by virtue of those turnovers. So, you know, for the Golden Knights, it's very simple. Manage the puck better in Game 3. Give yourself a really good chance to win. And you're going to need more out of Jack Eichel and Mark Stone. Those two guys are the drivers for you offensively on the top line. They're going to need to get going in terms of production. And I think that, you know, given the year Jack had and Mark Stone had, you expect that they will get going, that they will be productive. It is going to be more difficult anyway in Minnesota, but that's why you have the pressure on you. You know, pressure is a privilege, something Jack Eichel has said before, and I'm expecting this team to rise to the occasion in Game 3 to get back on the right side of things in this series. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Post Game Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio, keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great, and thanks to you, our listeners, our callers, our texters. It's your post-game show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls, your texts, and your input. Until Thursday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the extended Golden Knights post-game show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.